Well, perhaps you can start just by kind of explaining it. I think a lot of the confusion last week came around these likely voter polls,
right,
which put Romney ahead by, I think it was 7 points. Maybe you can explain what those polls are and maybe what why it's confusing some folks.
Well, I think you're alluding to the Gallup likely voter poll, which
right,
was kind of an outlier compared to the other polls that have been done. One thing that people don't realize is really when you're doing polling, you can poll, you know, a universe of adults or you could poll a universe of registered voters, but what you really care about, some of those people you know aren't going to vote, so you really care about the preferences of those people who are likely to vote, and that is something that is not as easy to pinpoint. Different polling organizations have their own ways of determining who is likely to vote. And as a result, their universe of likely voters differs, and so might the preferences expressed by those voters, right? So Gallup has one way of doing it, and different organizations have different ways of doing things. And, you know, in this particular case, the Gallup likely voter screen produced the distribution of preferences that was considerably different from other polling organizations.
I think a lot of people who are not experts on this are probably a little confused by all the polls that are out there. I mean, are there any kind of tips you would have for the average member of the public kind of trying to sort out what
well,
these all mean?
The average voter is not going to be a statistician or a,
right,
you know, academic researcher, but there are basic things that voters need to keep in mind, and probably the most important thing is, you know, the margin of error associated with a poll, which is a function of the sample size of the poll. You know, even fairly sizable differences in support between the candidates are not statistically significant differences. So a poll with a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points that has the candidates at 49-45 is not going to be a statistically significant difference. So that's something that voters need to be aware of, that journalists often portray these differences as meaningful, but they're oftentimes not.
I saw that you published a paper on the 2008 polls.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can learn from that election and those polls?
Well, one thing we could learn from that election and previous elections is that polls are incredibly accurate in that, on average, they come within a couple of percentage points of, you know, predicting the actual outcome of the election. So we can't dismiss them outright. But there has been a proliferation of polls. Some are better than others. And I think that one of the more interesting features of polling information to pay perhaps greater attention to is the trends or the patterns that we can observe over time rather than the precise point estimates.
Now, is there any thing about this election that you're looking at from a kind of academic perspective that might be interest for you for some further study, you know, when the election is over? Finances or the polling or
well, I think the finances are quite fascinating just because of the sheer volume of outside spending unleashed by Citizens United, but also the ways in which social media is being used in campaigns to mobilize and persuade voters is something that is difficult to study, but we need to get to the bottom of it to understand how social media may be different from other forms of communication and political campaigns.
So it's even different from 2008 in terms of the prominence of social media.
Absolutely.
Are there any other polls we should be looking out in the next couple of weeks that, I guess, maybe after the debate, the final debate, there might be some additional polling? Anything that people should keep an eye out for?
I think that people should just, they shouldn't cherry-pick their polling information. They should look at the array of polls, and I think that groups like Real Clear Politics do a great service because they average polls together at Nate Silver and at the New York Times and 538. You know, obviously you get some mix of good polls and bad polls in there, but when those differences average out, you might get a clearer estimate of where the race currently stands. So I would look at the polling information in a comprehensive way.
rather than cherry-picking what may look best for your preferred candidate?